to express my appreciation to Kathy and to Gordy also for carrying on while I've been away from you. They both do a wonderful job. You know, I hope the day will come when each one of you will feel directed to stand up here and be a minister of God. As long as you, upon the eagle, as long as you concentrate upon the eagle, it is, of course, almost impossible for you to do because you're very, very self-conscious and you don't feel qualified. But when you come to the point where your heart is so filled with love and devotion for God that it wants to pour forth, you turn everything over to Him, and that it is He alone who speaks through you. And it is a tremendous experience because as you get up and do this type of thing, you grow closer to God. You find that in teaching others, your own consciousness grows and expands. And each of you can start practicing that in your daily life to be a witness for God. And as you turn yourself over to Him, you will find that He uses you more and more. Now, this is a reciprocal arrangement, because as you give, so shall you receive. And so as you give to others, you will find that in turn, you not only get a greater expansion of consciousness, but you give their love, you get their love and their gratitude also. And as all of these things start to happen, everything in your life changes. Everything. We need a whole new army for God. A whole new army. We should be Christian soldiers for Him. Never was it so badly needed in the world as it is needed today. Those of us who are on this path, and all of those who are on the spiritual path to God, should band together in common brotherhood to work for God, to spread His word, to give His light, His wisdom, and to let be known the power of God, which is within each and every one of us. But let us use it only for Him, not for ourselves, because in forgetfulness of self comes total remembrance of God. Remember that. Now this morning I want to speak to you about a very interesting word and a very interesting subject. And it has to do with the tongue. My brethren, this is from James chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? Either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. First of all, the tongue is an organ. It can be used for many, many purposes. It can be used to speak good and evil. It is an organ of speech. It is also an organ of taste. And then when we speak of tongues, we speak of the knowledge of different languages. And then there is what is called the speaking with tongues. Speaking with tongues, or speaking in tongues, I should say. Now, in one place, and only in one place, in the New Testament, Jesus speaks of that time when your consciousness is lifted up and you feel this tremendous oneness with Him. And then He says you speak with new tongues. Now, this is not in new tongues, it's with new tongues. From the standpoint that the whole consciousness has been changed, and it is therefore impossible for you to speak evil. So you speak with a new tongue of God, and only good comes forth. You see, it is an amazing thing that on one hand, man, being the genus-based God of duality, praises God. He invokes His blessings. He gives blessings on others. And then, on the other hand, he will go and use that same tongue to gossip, to malign, to destroy others. We have so much of this going on in the world today, and particularly in our own country. It is beyond belief. Friday evening, I listened to the format of Johnny Carson's show for a few moments, and I heard him get up and absolutely crucify President Nixon. The man may have done something wrong. He hasn't killed anybody. Rather, he's brought peace to the world. He's averted another war, hopefully. The unemployment rate in this country today is less than at any other time in peace. He has done many, many good things. But is anybody looking at these things at all? They look only at this thing which has been publicized all over the place. This same thing has been going on in both parties for years and years and years, administration after administration. And some of the Democrats have even admitted to using this same process. But they didn't get caught. And they have this one man on the head of a pin, crucifying him every step of the way. The Honorable Sam Rayburn was quoted by Johnny as saying, when Moses went up to the mountains and God gave him the Ten Commandments, what would we have thought if he came down with only eight? Now, Moses was a great prophet, but there was a still greater one who came after him, and that was Jesus the Christ, who said to those who had stoned the woman taken in adultery, let he who hath not sinned cast the first stone. We think too much of tearing down somebody else, and we don't realize that in doing this, in speaking against the President of the United States and those who are high in office, guilty as though they may be, and they have not, all of them, been proven so, and a man is supposed to be innocent until he is proven guilty, that they are not only crucifying this man and those who have been with him, but they are also crucifying their own country. We speak too much. I read something not too long ago where it said that the only good thing about free speech was to know when to keep your mouth shut. And I think that this is true. Do they not realize that in all of this that is going down, tearing down the president, tearing down the government, that we are making ourselves sitting ducks for any major power in the world to come over and take over because of our weakness? We don't have a vice president in office. If something should happen to the president, what would happen? And to watch this man carry on in the face of the criticism that he is receiving out of the mouths of almost everybody in this country is unbelievable. And we say we are Christians. The Honorable Sam has also forgotten another and the greatest commandment which Jesus gave. And that is a new commandment I shall give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, are we Christians or are we not? We should be praying for this man. We wear everything on our coat sleeve. We advertise everything to the whole world. We air all of our dirty linen. But do we air our own? Oh, no. We cover that up. We cover that up. We always put forth that which is good according to what we think others would like to hear from us or see in us. Why? Because this little ego, which in Revelations is called the beast, couldn't stand. I wonder what any one of us would feel like if we were in President Nixon's place, if we would crawl in a hole, if we would commit suicide, if we would resign. And yet this man has the courage. You've got to give him this. And the power to stand in the face of everything and try to carry on his job. Now, regardless of which party you believe in, and I'm not condoning wrong in any sense of the word, but I am saying that we should remember these things which the Christ taught us. You don't help anybody nor any situation by tearing them apart. You rather pray for them. You give them love. You try to help them to be better. You give them a second chance. Did he not also say that you should turn the other cheek 7 times 70? If there's anything that Nixon has done, I think it's that. Because he has carried on in face of everything. Now, our country has made many mistakes. It's the youngest great country in the world. But I have traveled through many countries in this world, and I have never found a better one. And right or wrong, she's my country. And I love her. And I would fight for her the same as I would fight for God or for my guru. And when we elect of our own free will somebody by a majority to be the head of our nation, then with everything we've got, we should support him. We should support the government which we elect. We should look to whether or not we use good judgment. And if so, not blame the individual, but ourselves for our poor judgment. But having made the choice, then let us do the best for everybody concerned. These hearings shouldn't be aired for the world to see. They should be private things. This news media is really crucifying somebody, and many people, but him particularly. I felt very, very strongly as I saw this. And I thought to myself, having watched the Honorable Sam on television recently and see the word, the way that he manipulates the Bible and God for his own purpose, I think that his halo is definitely very dim and more than slightly askew. I feel this very, very strongly. I would like to ask all of you from this moment forward to pray. Let us pray for those who are the heads of our nation, that God will lift them up. And if there be something wrong, let him change them. And let us do our part by keeping still when there is nothing good to say and defending when there is. And let us know the difference. God, give me the grace to accept the things, no, to change the things I can, to accept the things I cannot change, and the wisdom to know the difference. Let us look first to ourselves. Let us remove the mote from our own eye before we are always so ready to see the beam in the other fellows. All of this with regard to tongues is very interesting. You see a person gnawing their tongue, and usually they're very angry people. And it speaks of this in Revelations. Because when you come to that point where you go through these spiritual experiences, those of you who have used your tongues wrongly, and that includes myself as well, will find what it means to have the scourge of tongues. It is really an experience. I call your attention to the first sentence in this chapter that I read you this morning where it says, "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." Many people have wondered why I have gone through so much more than so many are said to go through in attaining their God realization. But each of us has a separate and a special destiny to fulfill in God. It so happened that it was God's will that I would be one of those who would try to be a dispeller of darkness, one who is called a guru. And the more that you will have as a guru following with you on the path to God in an attempt to help them to attain their own God realization, the bigger price you have to pay, because you have to take on and work out a part of the individual karma of every single one who comes to you in one way or another. Physically, my body is perfect. I go through many things, repair work, this and that. Some of my bones have broken out, my feet, my hands, and whatnot. And this, I can tell you, is caused because the Master put me through the crucifixion, put me through it so rapidly, that the body wasn't balanced out as it should have been to take the tremendous charge of spiritual energy. This is why I never force you. I have paid the price for that myself. And so if you see these outer things that are wrong, know that there is a good reason in God for them. And I try to protect you in every way from having to go through the same thing. I give you your free will at all times, even though it is not mine to give. But there are many gurus who do not do that. They make slaves of their disciples. You are free to come or to go. I merely tell you that when you come to this final mile, where it is time for you to turn your face toward God and surrender everything you are and everything you have at the feet of God, you need but one guru, one teacher, one who has gone the way and who has become one with that tremendous truth, in order that that one, having gone the way, may show you the way. And if you go here and there out of curiosity, to this one and that one, to this class or that class, you but diffuse your energies and you create nothing but confusion within yourself because of the divergence of paths, and you retard your spiritual development. It isn't that one path is better than another, but it is true that the human consciousness is such that it confuses itself, and you finally wind up by not knowing who says which, nor which path to follow. I have many, many letters from people. I have talked with many people that have been every place in the world trying to get God realization the easy way. It is a pearl of great price. There is no easy way. You get many blessings through grace, but you have to earn it every step of the way. Somebody doesn't come along and with a magic wand touch you on the shoulder and say, "I give you God realization." You've got to earn your God realization. And you will never get rid of this beast, which is the ego, the animal nature within yourself, that is so totally not only self-destructive, but destructive of everything it sees. And so such time as you make the effort, I speak to you constantly about keeping your mind on God. Use your tongue to praise His name. Use your tongue to sing His name. Use your tongue to pray to him. And if his name is upon your lips and upon your tongue, no evil can come forth. And do you do yourself a disservice when you do that? No, you do yourself a tremendous service, because you are building something positive, good karma, so to speak, so that you may come to that final moment when you can say, because you have been so blessed, no matter what you have been through, you will say, God, how could you have asked so little of me and have given me so much? My life has been a fascinating one, a tremendous one. It has been filled with experiences, and believe me, not all of them have been easy. But what difference does it make if we come out with the prize? They are as nothing. It is like a mother who goes through the pain of childbirth. And it is perhaps a difficult experience when she goes through it, depending on her own state of consciousness in the situation. But when she holds that little child in her arms, she forgets that there was such a thing as pain. And she sees only there the innocence, the sweetness, the beauty of her newborn child. And so it is when the Christ child is born within the consciousness of each and every one of us. We forget all the pain that we have borne. And we see only and feel only the beauty and the bliss of God. And we are filled with his love. We want to give this love, this peace, this bliss to the whole world, but who wants to accept it? Saying they are on the spiritual path, saying they want God realization, saying they want things to be right between God and themselves, they fight every inch of the way. And the guru has a colossal task of trying to take them there. They fight, they spit, they kick, they scream, they feel insulted, all because you are trying to do for them exactly what they have said they wanted you to do in order to give them what they wanted. It is high time that we open our eyes and know things the way they are and truly put our feet on the path and make each moment of our lives lived in the now in consciousness of him. You will not take from yourself. You will reward yourself. I'm not going to get the benefit from it. You are. Because the master is the one that pays the greatest price, not the disciple. The master has the responsibility for teaching the truth, of guiding and directing the disciple. But the disciple has an equal responsibility, and perhaps even more so, of taking that truth and of applying it in every facet of their existence if they expect to get what they say they want. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it speaks of the gifts. St. Paul here is speaking of the gifts. You will remember at the Pentecost that Jesus appeared to his disciples, and there were flames of tongues which came up and surrounded them. This was an occult, a psychic experience, you see. Then again in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 10. No, let's see. Beginning with verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And this is what I have been preaching to you, that just as all of the members of our body are contained in this which we call my body, so also is everything in this manifested universe contained in the first and only begotten Son of God, the eternal and universal Christ, who dwells not in one body, but in every atom of space, and in every form which is created. He is pictured as being Christ the carpenter, and that is symbolic of the fact that the Christ consciousness, the Christ energy, built this whole universe and everything in it. Everything in it. God was static, using the silence of his own being. And then he became both the Father and the Mother, the Father being Spirit and the Mother being nature. And it was as a result of the union within himself, his one great universal body, of these two, that the Word was brought into being and was clothed in flesh. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh. Then in chapter 14, he says, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. But he that prophesieth edifieth the church. I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesy. For greater is he that prophesieth than he that speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, except I speak to you either by revelation, or by knowledge, or by prophesying, or by doctrine? And even things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is piped or harped? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? For ye shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say Amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest things well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye know. Yet in church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding than by my voice. I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding. Howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Now there is much of this charismatic movement going on, speaking in tongues. And you can see that in this 1 Corinthians chapter 14, that it speaks very, very clearly that when man speaketh in an unknown tongue, when this gibberish comes out of you, it may be a private language between God and yourself. But it is not of value. It is not edifying either to yourself or to anyone else, and is therefore to be avoided. There has been much mental distress in some cases where the people speak in unknown tongues, and even some mental cases where there has been insanity result from that. Let us not look for God's gifts. Let us look rather to our union with Him alone. There is the greatest language in the world. It is greater than anything that can come from the tongue, and that is the language of the heart. And when you speak to God in the silence of your soul, from the depth of your heart and from your consciousness, from your very being, telling Him of your love, your devotion, and offering yourself to Him and saying, Lord, here am I, take me. Let Him do anything He will with you. Accept whatever He gives you in humility. Speak no evil against any man. Make your lives what they should be in Christ. Do you serve men or do you serve Christ? Because if you serve men, ye are not yet the servants of the Christ. And this is the truth. You must know this. Your lives will not change. The things that you want will not come to you until you surrender this little self with everything that you hold so dear and lay it at the feet of God. I pray that each and every one of you here may have this tremendous experience of going to Him, no matter what the cost, so that you will know the truth of what I tell you, and know that they aren't just words that came out of this mouth by this tongue, but that they are a thing of actual experience, that you can experience this beauty, this wonder, the kingdom, the power of the kingdom, and of the glory. Now let us pray to Him. O Heavenly Father,
Divine Mother,
I feel the wonder and the beauty of Thy glorious presence in every part of my being. My heart is bursting with my love for Thee. I kneel in adoration at Thy feet. And surrender myself to Thee. I feel the power of Thy perfection. Surging in every cell of my body. My mind and my intelligence. Are radiant with Thy healing light. My soul is filled with the ecstasy and bliss. Of my communion with Thee.
I and my Father are one.
Blessed Spirit, I am He. O Heavenly Father. May Thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken all hearts with my own. And bring them to